Let us exalt God's name together and cry out for his help.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, we've sung that song many times. I love that song. But, you know, as we were singing it that time, who knew? I didn't see that. Perhaps there was actually even a touch of prophecy in there, that perhaps the end is almost here. Did you notice the line that said, then the trump shall sound, and then the Lord will descend, you know? So Trump is certainly resounding, isn't he, you know? So perhaps the Lord will descend soon, you know? We'll see about that. Who knew about that? So anyway, all right. Sorry if I went and blew the atmosphere there that we were going for here, but we'll have an opportunity for that again here, because we're going to be looking at one of my favorite psalms here today. And one of the things I love about this psalm is it's one of my favorite introductions to one of the psalms here. It's one of my favorite odd little stories in the Bible. You know, there's some wonderful stories in the Bible, and sometimes things that are just plain weird, you know, and this one is one of those instances there. But before we look at that, I want to bring us back once again here to this theme that we had been looking about, of change. And I'd like to say one more thing about that here today, that the last message in that series on change had an intention of giving, causing us to proclaim and praise the faithfulness of God to this church over the years, and to entrust the future to him. And I pray that it did do that, but I thought, you know what, I think we need to go back and revisit that theme just a little bit more on time to give us an opportunity together as God's people to personally proclaim God's faithfulness to us and to entrust not only this church, but our lives, everything into his care and his faith, that he will prove himself faithful in the future as well as he has in the past here. So with that series on change then, remember we were talking about as we need to come to understand and accept and embrace healthy change in the church, we need to first of all remember the things that don't change. The things that don't change are, of course, first of all, the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. He does not change, does he? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also then, the doctrine of the church doesn't change. Those essential truths that we must hold on to, that does not change. The mission of the church does not change. What is the mission? It is to make disciples, right? To build mature followers of Jesus Christ, exactly. And then the ministries of the church, those basic functions of the church. When we come together, what are we doing here? We are to worship, to receive instruction, to fellowship, all of these things, to pray together. Some of these ministries of the church, those do not change. But there are things that do change, though, right? And what are those things that change? It's people, preferences, and methods. Those do change. You know, as I was showing last time, all of those pictures of God's, of the history of our church here in Wonder Lake, and the purpose of that was to get us to reflect on God's faithfulness to this church. It occurred to me, you know, it also said something in there about the faithfulness of God's people, though, too. That we are faithful, though, first of all, only because God is faithful to us first, right? But celebrating, too, the faithfulness of God's people over the years here. But then also in a way that I didn't quite anticipate, but there it was there. As we looked at those pictures and we reflected on all those things, didn't we see at the same time, though, the fact of and the need for healthy change in the church, right? That things do change. Many things have changed over the years here, but God does not change, right? The doctrine doesn't change. The mission doesn't change. The ministries don't change. But people do. Who's here? Who's in different positions of responsibility or leadership in the church? The preferences that we may have for what things look like or how we do things. You know, those kinds of things do change. But the truly important things don't change. And so we were celebrating God's faithfulness then. God's faithfulness in the past to the church, His faithfulness to us now in the present, but then also His faithfulness in the future to us, entrusting all of that into His care. And so what I wanted to do then was to make it a little bit more personal for us here today then, to reflect on God's faithfulness, to give us that opportunity to praise God for His faithfulness and His goodness, but also then to pray any needs or concerns that may be on your hearts, for us to come together and pray about those, and then to entrust ourselves, entrust this church into God's care and keeping for the however many years or time there may be ahead of us here, to entrust all of that into His care. So we're looking then today at the cries of our hearts, praise and prayer, and our text is going to be from Psalm 34. What I want us to see in this is that what the psalm tells us to do is let us exalt God's name together. Let us exalt God's name together and cry out for His help. So before we look at Psalm 34, then, a little context here. Remember I told you this is one of my favorite psalms, and it is. But one of the things I like about this is, if you're reading the book of Psalms there, sometimes you'll see little inscriptions at the beginning of the psalm that gives a little historical context, you know, like who wrote it or what the circumstances were, what was going on when it was written. And I love this backstory here. But if you look at Psalm 34, up above there, it says it is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Well, if you look that up, I'm going to turn to that and just look at that for a moment here. That's found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to look at verses 10 through 15. How many of you know that God acts sometimes in rather unusual ways? Or mysterious ways, including then perhaps, and I believe it was the case here, perhaps even giving us thoughts or ideas of unusual things to do. But God uses that, right? And here was a situation where David was in big trouble, and I believe God gave him a thought of something to do that is like, wow, man, that is weird. But there it is in the scripture, and yet God worked through it, and God was faithful to it. But here's the situation here. It is in 1 Samuel 21, starting in verse 10 here. David is on the run. Now, you may remember that the Lord had called David to be the king, but there was already a king in place, Saul, right? And David knew that it was not his place to strike down or usurp Saul, that in his time, in God's time, David would become the rightful king. Well, meanwhile, Saul is very jealous of David, and he is angry with David, and David is on the run from Saul then. And here's what happens in verse 10. Says, "And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. So here they realize, like, wait, we know who this guy is. This is the guy that he has caused us and a lot of other people a lot of harm. He is a warrior who was struck down. Many of us here. Now, if you're David, you're on the run, and you hear the people saying, wait a minute, we know who this guy is. Do you think you might get a little nervous, maybe even a little fearful at that point? Right? Well, he was. Well, look what happens then. It says, verse 12, "And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands, and made marks on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Like, I don't need this. Get him out of here.'" Where do you think that idea came from to David to do that, you think? Maybe? I think maybe God gave him that idea. But I love that. And David, boy, he really acted the part, right? You know, behaving. But then also the detail. Every junior high boy loves this story, you know, in the Bible here, you know, where it talks about the spit running down his beard and that. And then I love the king's response to it. right? Do I lack Mad Men? Do I need another one? Right? Get him out of here. And so he was delivered in a very strange way. And so that's the backdrop for what we're about to read here then in Psalm 34. So what he says, first off, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So first off here, we see this call for let us together, let us exalt the name of the Lord, magnify the Lord together, let us exalt his name together. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Wait a minute, I thought the Lord blesses us. What does it mean for us to bless the Lord? It means to praise, to speak well of. So when we bless the Lord, what that means is we are speaking well of the Lord. We are praising the Lord. We are recounting what God has done. We are reflecting on his greatness, his mercy, his love, his faithfulness, and giving expression to that with our lips. Now, that is a personal and private thing sometimes, isn't it? As we privately praise the Lord in our time of personal worship and devotion. But there's also a time, though, for coming together as God's people and praising the Lord. I think it's so important for us to hear. Someone has pointed this out, and I think, you know what? That's a great point. That, you know what? We need to hear more the stories of what God is doing in our lives. Not only is it good for us to give praise to God in that way, but it's encouraging for others then to hear that too, right? So, I will bless the Lord when it's convenient and I feel like it, or things are going well. No, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. You know, it sounds kind of strange, but I will admit it here. Okay, if I can admit it, some of you can too, all right? I don't always feel like blessing the Lord. Sometimes I just feel like just kind of curling up in a little ball for a little while. Anybody ever feel like that? But he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, I think it's important. It's important always to bless the Lord, but I think it's even more important for us to bless the Lord when we don't feel like it and when things aren't going so well. Why? It honors God, and it's submitting ourselves to his greater wisdom and recognizing, as we'll see here, that in his time, God will deliver, won't he? One way or another, he will deliver. And so sometimes when we're in a funk and we're at the lowest point, that's precisely when we need to praise God and give God thanks, because I think God works in that. He's worthy of it, but I think he works in that and through that praise to lift up our hearts and our spirits, doesn't he? So I will bless the Lord. That is, I will praise the Lord. I will speak well of the Lord. I will speak good of the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And you notice the contrast here then too. It says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, don't we? So he says, let us humble ourselves before him. My boasting isn't in myself, what I do, what I've accomplished. My boasting, my pride is in the Lord. I will boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. There's a time for personal or private praise and worship. And then there's a time for corporate praise and worship, right? So that's what we're gathered here now today, is corporate worship and praise. So let us today exalt His name together. Then David goes on to say, I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Remember, we read that in 1 Samuel, that he was afraid, he was fearful of what they were saying. Like, hey, isn't this that David guy? And he was afraid and fearful. And I sought the Lord, and He answered me. And then what's the next thing we read about? He's acting like a madman. Does God sometimes act in unusual ways? Absolutely. Absolutely. So I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then I really love this verse. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Isn't that wonderful? See, David was in trouble, and he cried out. He humbled himself before the Lord, and he cried out, and the Lord answered him and delivered him from all of his fears in a most unusual way, I might say, but He did. You know, sometimes it's like when we are crying out to God for us to deliver, there's just a little quick note to consider in the two, that we say we're crying out for God to deliver us. That does not mean then that we just sit there and then wait for God to, and sometimes God just does it and it's done, right? We don't do anything. We cry out and He does it, okay? But sometimes, though, there's an action or a part, there's a thing that we need to do. That God says, I will deliver you, but you need to do this, right? So David, in response to God, did his part, but then God was faithful to do His part and deliver him. David says, those who look to Him are radiant. Can't you even see, can you see David's face when he has been delivered from that? And said, get him out of here. And he is out, and he is out. Can you see that radiant face of David at that point? Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Why? Because God will always prove Himself faithful. This poor man cried out. See the humility of David in that? He refers to himself as, he's the king. And yet he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And that verse 7 there, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. I love the picture of that in my mind. Do you see that in your mind? That there you are, you're in trouble. And then the picture there is of God camping, putting His encampment all surrounding you. The picture there is first of all, this angel of the Lord. It may very well be, and I believe, the angel of the Lord here. We see this a number of times in the Old Testament. We know that God created angels. God has angels. There are angels that He sends that have different purposes, different missions that He gives them. But every now and then we see this mysterious angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. And many believe, and I think it's true, that this angel of the Lord that we read about sometimes in the Old Testament was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. That the angel of the Lord is the Lord Himself, the Son of God. And so here then, the angel of the Lord, be it a created angel or the angel of the Lord, the Son of God Himself, whatever it may be, I think it's God Himself, the Son of God, He encamps around me. Now, this is a military term, like his soldiers, his warriors are surrounding, encamping, taking up their camp, all around you, setting up their tents all around you to surround you. Isn't that a wonderful picture? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So let us exalt the name of the Lord. The Lord delivers the humble. Fear the Lord. By the way, I didn't mention this, but you notice the all capital letters of Lord, L-O-R-D. Why is that? Well, I have it there because that's what's in the text. Okay, but why is that in the text? Why isn't it just capital L, then lowercase O-R-D? Well, because often as when you see those all caps L-O-R-D, that is how many English translations have translated the personal name of God, Yahweh, the I Am. That all caps, that is God's personal name, Yahweh. I am that I am. So let us exalt the name of Yahweh. Do you have a name? I do. We all have names, right? What is God's name? Yahweh. That means I am. Let us exalt the name of Yahweh, the Lord, together. Yahweh delivers the humble. Fear Yahweh. Fear him. This is what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. It means what? Experience. Find out for yourself. Check it out. Taste and see. You see something, I wonder what that's like. Well, there's only one way to find out what that food is like. What must you do? You must taste and see, right? Well, here David is encouraging us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Find out. Check this out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Take refuge in him. And then fear him, fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's a profound respect for him, isn't it? Yes. For his awesome, well, for everything that he is. For his awesome nature and character and power and all. He is, that word awesome doesn't mean the same thing in our culture anymore because it's been so overused. But he truly is awesome. Isn't he? So to fear him is to acknowledge that. It's a profound respect for that. But I'll take it a little bit step further. Sometimes some preachers or teachers will talk about that and end it there. But actually, I think it's a little bit more than that. Yes, it is a profound awe and respect for God. But it's even, there's a little bit of a healthy fear there, isn't there? Because God is so holy and powerful, you better fear. Again, not like a cowering in the corner terror, but a recognition. God is not to be trifled with, is he? You don't trifle with him. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are his beloved child, and you don't need to fear him in the bad sense of that. But if you are his child, we all should fear him in this sense of this profound respect and awe and recognition that he's not to be trifled with. Fear the Lord. What are some ways that we fear the Lord? Well, the psalmist says by what? Keeping your tongue from evil, not speaking evil. Turning away from evil and doing it. So it's not speaking evil. It's not doing evil. Instead, it's doing good. Right? And what else? Seeking peace and pursue it. Do we live in a troubled world with troubled people all around us? Oh, yeah. Well, one way we fear the Lord then is by seeking peace and pursuing it. Finally, then, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So let us exalt the name of the Lord together. The Lord delivers the humble. Let us fear the Lord, for the Lord cares for the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, his ears toward their cries. God always sees you and hears you when you cry out. And he is against those who do evil, but he supports those who do the right, the righteous. He is near the brokenhearted. He comforts the afflicted. The Lord delivers us out of trouble. Now you notice here it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible never promises that we're going to be spared hardship or affliction, does it? But it says what though? But the Lord is with us in them, and he will ultimately deliver or rescue us from them. In fact, who was the most righteous person who ever lived? Jesus Christ. Was he spared affliction or trouble? No. Did the Father deliver him? Yes, but after he had gone through great suffering, right? But it was suffering for a purpose, wasn't it? Our redemption. In fact, John, in the Gospel of John, quotes this about how Jesus was rescued from all that was done against him. Not one of his bones was broken, he quotes that. Meaning what? That God ultimately rescued. Jesus was not spared great pain and suffering. But the Father rescued him, didn't he, ultimately? Same way, we're not spared affliction or trouble, but God will ultimately rescue us. And that's our eternal hope, isn't it? And not one of them will be condemned. Again, that's our eternal hope. You might say, well, so what? What do I do with that? Well, I'd remind us where we started and say, let us exalt God's name together and cry out for his help. You know, this is something that I'd like to see us do a little bit with a little bit more regularity from time, is for us to come together for times of praise, of testimony, and times of prayer. I think it's great that we're able to do some of that in our morning worship services, but I'd like to see a little bit more of that. And so I would just say stay tuned with that in connection with our 2020 vision, all right? But for today, I wanted us to do this. We've been proclaiming God's faithfulness, God's goodness to this church over the years. But you are the church. I am the church. We are the church. Let us praise. Let us exalt his name together. Is there someone here that would like to give thanks or a little testimony of praise here today to God and for who God is, for what God has done in your life, a testimony of some kind? Would someone like to do that? Let's pray. Lord, you know the cries of our hearts here. You know the ones that are on our hearts right now that have not been spoken. And Lord, we lift all of them to you, knowing that you are the Almighty, Sovereign Lord of the universe who knows all things and can do all things. Nothing ever surprises you, Lord. Nothing is beyond your ability to do, that you are all-powerful and that you are good and that you are holy, that you are faithful, that you are just, that you are merciful, and you are gracious. And so, Lord, we pour out these cries of our heart to you, asking you, Lord, to intervene powerfully in them for your glory. And we pray then specifically for the Chinese church, Lord, that, Lord, we know it is one of the churches, or part of our church, of the church, which is being persecuted now. The government fears that, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would watch over them, that you would protect them. Lord, and that the church would grow, and that, Lord, even as some are persecuted, even giving up their lives, Lord, imprisonment, that you would comfort them, Lord, and that the church would grow, and that you would be honored and glorified ultimately through it all. We do pray for that nation, Lord, 1.5 billion people, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bring a great hunger, a continued hunger among the Chinese people, Lord, to know you and to know the truth, and that you, Lord, would work even in something as terrible as this coronavirus, Lord, that you would use this, Lord, for ultimate eternal good. And we pray for your protection then, Lord, over that it would not spread any further, but also from spreading here in our country, Lord. God, we pray as our friend Kurt here, our brother Kurt, has prayed for wisdom and discernment, Lord, that especially among young people, Lord, that they would see truth. We know that ultimately, Lord, you are truth. But we pray, Lord, that you would give them discernment to sort through all of the craziness that's going on in our culture right now, Lord, that they would see truth, that there is such a thing as truth, objective truth, and that ultimately, Lord, you are that truth, that objective truth. And Father, we pray then too, especially for young ones in high school now. We pray for Kennedy, and as she is leading this chapter of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Lord, it's a really challenging time to be in a position like that. And we pray for her and all of the other believers, Lord, that you would strengthen them, give them grace and wisdom, Lord, to handle the pressures that against them and the competing messages that are being thrown at them every day, God. God, I pray that you would restore our nation to sanity on some of these issues here. Restore us to sanity. And Lord, give us your church, give us wisdom to address these matters, to address them with truth, but also in love, Lord. Father, we do pray for our Awana kids then. Thank you for the ministry of that. Empower our leaders, our teachers, our helpers, Lord, to minister powerfully to these kids. And God, we pray then. Thank you for your faithfulness to us in years past, your faithfulness now. And we entrust ourselves, we entrust this future to us. Guide us as we put together this 2020 vision, Lord, that it will reflect your will and your purposes, that you will be honored ultimately through it all. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.